This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to The Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. Welcome to this special podcast. We are speaking with Lorraine Hutchins and Lonnie Kahumanu, co-editors of By Any Other Name, Bisexual People Speak Out. It is really a pleasure to have both of you here.
Really is. Welcome.
We're not the authors. This is Lorraine. We're the co-editors.
Did I say authors?
I don't know, but there's tons of writers, of authors in the book. There's 76 different voices.
Well, this is really exciting. You guys, I'm sorry if I said authors. I didn't. I know you're co-editors.
Well, we did write the overviews, so we are authors too. So, you know, it's a both and kind
it's
of thing.
It's both, right?
You know how it goes.
You know how we are.
That's right. That's right. So this is exciting news for all of us. Your new edition is coming out soon. And for those who don't know, which I can't imagine who that would be, but I'm sure there is, can you give us a little history about the book?
Sure. I'll start. This is Lorraine.
Okay.
The book was a dream that Lonnie and I had. Basically, I mean, she had it before me, but when I met her, we talked about pursuing it because we wanted to write the book that we needed to read. I mean, that's what a lot of people say, and it's just really true. So it came about by us organizing around the country, talking to people, you know, what's your story? What's your story? What's your story? How can we tell these stories all together?
Thank you so much for doing that. 76 people? That's a lot of people.
A little bit more history is that when I came out as a lesbian in 1976, I was reading all these coming out stories, and it really validated who I was, and it was glorious to come out as a lesbian. When you come out as a bisexual, it's not that supportive. It wasn't way back then, and so I always thought, I want a book of bisexual stories that I can sit down and read to find myself. And that was part of the inspiration of the book, too, is to have our bisexual selves reflected back in all the many ways we can be bisexual.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. I read it about 2 years ago when I first came out, and it really helped validate a lot of things for me because, I ran into that, the biphobia quite a bit, and it was really quite helpful.
Yeah.
But it's been 2 years since I read it, so it's going to be like reading a brand new book for me. And I can't wait.
Yeah, I'll just say that this has been a very important resource for all of us, as Lynette was saying. Tell us about what's going to be different with the electronic version.
Well, there's a electronic version, and it'll be available in print also. So there'll be both. The ebook launches May 28th, and if you request a print copy will be yours. Yeah. We have an updated intro that talks about the changes that have occurred since 1991. Which are considerable, and the first, when I reread the book, I didn't reread the whole thing. It was like a new experience for me because the book for me changed my life too. And in rereading it, one of the things I noticed is how much language has changed in all these years, but also how we've really come out as a community, how we do have a place at the table. And then the other part of it is some of the same old stuff is still going on. So the intro covers a lot of the history of what's happened, some of the good stuff that's gone on, and yet, oh my God, here we are, the same old, is the biphobia is still, and our invisibility and the erasure is still happening in so many ways that's unbelievable since 1991 when this came out.
I was just going to follow up real quick and say, I just going back through the book in last week, the original, I noticed how much of it was so focused on HIV and AIDS. In 91, we were really still in terrible crisis. And I also think it's good for people now that are younger to read some of this stuff from that time period so that they understand better.
Yeah, there's lots of lost stories and needing to be retold and savored and remembered stories from those times. I mean, we all lost a lot of people, a whole generation of amazing artists and leaders and intellectuals and scientists.
Well, I would just say, too, is that the crisis was gay and bisexual men. You know, we hear about gay men, gay men, gay men, and it was bisexual men, too. And many of the people in our book have passed from the HIV AIDS, amazing leaders. So I think it is important for young people or anybody coming out as bisexual or our allies to understand that it was gay and bisexual men and women, too, that were affected and still are, but it's not in that same 1980s, 90s horrific time with regards to HIV AIDS.
Well, exactly. I think that part, our history is not put to the forefront, and I think it's very important for the young people, our young activists, to understand there is a history, because I don't think a lot of people know there is. Mm-hmm. And it's very important, and the HIV, the plague, was a really important factor, and I don't think they understand how devastating that was either.
Well, so we just have to talk about, I mean, it's because we don't talk about grief, we don't talk about loss in our mm-hmm. Culture very well, and, you know, the stories are there.
Yeah, they are.
And the stories are still there. There's people in our community who nearly died, and we were saying our goodbyes to them, and then the cocktail came, the mixture of drugs, and now their health is, quote-unquote, healthy again, and they're vibrant, and they're leaders. So you don't see HIV/AIDS anymore like you used to. You know,
unless you don't know. Unless you're
mm-hmm.
in a country where there's worse health care and more poverty, or places in our country where that goes on.
But we don't talk about it here. I mean, there's been a couple of campaigns to be HIV positive and actually talk about it. And we don't hear enough about them, so, because it's important.
Yeah, and it's associated with the stigmatizing of bisexuals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that it was a conscious decision on, especially Gay Inc., part of the gay and lesbian community, to downplay HIV and AIDS in the 2000s and to push things like marriage.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. gays in the military, quote unquote mm-hmm. gays in the military, because bisexual people get kicked out of the military, were for years and are still just trying to find a place.
Well, I also think that, that had to do with HIV and AIDS became more about people of color and poverty, and the mainstream gay and lesbian community really let go,
mm-hmm.
did not step up for people of color and the sex workers and mainly the more mainstream white health focus was, we've got our cocktail, and yes, the other movements kind of took over. But it was because, I think, like Lorraine said, people of color, poor people that didn't have access to good health internationally, but in this country too.
Yeah, it's a white picket fencing is what I call it, and that shows just the how much that hurts the communities that are not part of mainstream gay life. I don't know how else to explain that, but, you know, they've been left behind. So, but I really love that you guys put all that history in there, good and bad. I think it's really, the insert is awesome. You guys had some of my favorite pictures in there, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're becoming more and more visual, or people are, the way they learn. And we have to look and see the visual, the little infographics, the pie charts, mm-hmm. to help us feel, because we're getting so overwhelmed with so much data so fast.
Yeah. Well, it was a good choice to do that. And Lonnie already told me that it's going to be in print form too. I was just going to ask about that. No, that's great. I'm excited for that.
I'm more of a book person.
Me too. I am too. I like the feel of books better. I read it 2 years ago, and then we moved, and I packed it, and I've been looking for it searching all over in my boxes, and I have not found it.
Lynette, we are in a window in time right now where you could order it for 50 cents on Amazon used.
Oh, really?
Yes. 50 cents.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, I have it. I think I paid like $3.99 for it back then.
Yeah.
But 50 cents, I could get another copy. Somebody's always going to
use
one,
right?
Yeah, I order
copies and give them away, you know, because that's what the used market should be about, I guess, you know.
Yeah. But you guys don't profit from that at all.
Not at all.
You know, but that's not the point, really, right?
Well,
it is the point.
Yeah.
It would be nice to profit from it, but
I mean, publishing has changed so hugely since the book came out. That, it's not even the same language anymore that we can talk about. I mean, we independently published in 91 with a small gay press, which was, you know, the best gay press at the time. And, you know, they sold themselves to the Advocate media people. And those people at some point decided they didn't want to do in-print books anymore, which is one reason we decided to move and get back to copyright ourselves and then move our copyright to another publisher that would keep it in print as well as create an ebook form.
It was a good choice because it's a great resource. We spread it around wherever we can, you know, the links to it.
Yeah. People have to have stuff online these days.
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's the way the world is now. And I think that's great, though, because we can get our stories out there. We can get our message out there so much easier, you know.
I would say, though, in some ways, you know, why it's important to have this in the ebook form now is because I've noticed, especially in our own history, if it's not on the internet, it doesn't exist. If you can't go back to it and say, well, this is what happened such and such a time, it didn't happen because you don't have a web link to give me. And I will tell you that.
Yes.
One of the things I hit on Wikipedia. Oh, I guess it was some years ago now, but it was talking about attendance at the various LGBT marches, and I was at them. The numbers for 1993 was something like 100,000 people. And, you know, we know it was like the biggest march ever to come in D.C. I remember people saying that there were probably close to 2 million people out that day. And because I couldn't give a web link, the actual author of the piece wouldn't change it. And I looked and looked and actually found an AP Wire piece that was on Usenet from 93, the day after the march, that gave numbers of attendance that were coming from, you know, from the task force, I think it was. And that's when it was changed. But by attending and telling him, that is how big it was, it didn't matter until I had that web link.
John, I want to say, as a teacher and as someone who works with students and scholars and researchers, that we have to have this information. And the other historic thing about that 93 march is it's the first march that had bi in the title, bi, not bisexual, and that featured Lonnie as a speaker at the end of the day, squeezed in, almost, you know, pushed out, but and the first ever openly bisexual speaker at an LGBT march. But that is not taught in the LGBT history books that I have been going over. It is not in there.
We bagged out before we got to the end of the march. Sorry, but I wanted to hear.
No, but it's
that
on
day.
C-SPAN. It's on C-SPAN. It's recorded.
Yeah,
I've seen Lonnie's face, right, Lonnie?
Okay, Lonnie, what other projects are you working on at the moment?
At the very moment, I put it aside, but I've got it. As soon as this book is out, I'll be back to doing my activist memoir, which is really, it's called My Grassroots Are Showing, which that's just a working title because a lot of people that aren't community organizers have no idea the little wordplay of that. So I've got to come up with, that might be a tagline, but it's my activist memoir from the 60s through probably the first decade of the 2000s, so it's not too ambitious. A book of poetry called Primal Creams and Forbidden Dreams, and that'll be previously published, unpublished, and new work. So I'm hoping to have the poetry book done and published sometime in 2016, and I'm not sure about the memoir because it's huge, and part of my memoir is in the early 2000s, I flew around the country using up my frequent flyer miles, interviewing 52 people who I, bisexual activists who I'd worked with the previous 20 years to, so I had, you know, I could watch the interview and use that for my memoir. And then I'm going to be, I just got a hold of, or somebody just found me, a film archivist. And so what we're going to do is put those together on some drives, but I probably will have it up on the cloud somewhere so everybody can access those interviews for history.
Awesome.
That was bisexual history. Yeah.
That's
so I'm realizing I'm a historian.
Yeah, we were just talking to Kyle Schickner last week. He's doing a film on a a trans boy who is transitioning in his last year of high school. And one of the things that came up as a topic of discussion was telling the stories of bi people who are starting to show the grassroots.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it is really necessary because this is, you know, when we lose people, we lose their stories. And if they're not told, they're gone.
That's right. And some of these, I mean, one of the stories when I heard Marsha Diehl passed, she got killed in a bicycle accident.
Yeah.
I had the interview of her and I sent it to Boston and they used it for the memorial.
Oh.
Which was perfect, and it was one of the best interviews that we had done because she was, like, totally prepared and really understood what it was. So that felt really good, and it reminded me. Each interview was, like, an hour to 3 hours, and that's 52 different people. So I could spend the rest, never do Netflix again this year, and be swimming in history, which is what a lot of what I'm doing anyway. But the interviews are amazing. I think Lorraine actually has 4 hours.
Which I have. So, yeah,
and of course, come back and get something out so that we can interview you on this book.
Yeah. Any project you guys do, just, you know, hit us up and we'll be happy to have you on. No problem at all. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Lorraine, we know you recently lost your partner, Nan. Our condolences. And are you working on any other projects at the moment?
Well, I'm working on trying to find somebody to do some of the work in my life that I shared with her. Again, that would be wonderful because she really helped me promote my writing and edit my writing. And I'm really missing that. It's true. I'm working with a gay historian named Don Romsberg who teaches at Sonoma State. And he has a contract with Rutledge to do a queer history of the United States. He's a historian, gay-identified historian, and I'm writing the chapter on bi erasure, but I'm not calling it that. And so I was, that's why I said earlier, I've been reviewing like every LGBT history book out there to look at what they say and do not say about bisexuality,
yes,
which is huge. I'm also entering my first year as the new book editor of the Journal of Bisexuality. So that's really fun because I get to help put out information about bi books and find great people to write about them and read them myself. In the back of my mind, one last thing, you know, we have these projects we dream about for years and develop in little ways, right, towards something big. And I have been trying to finish work on something about therapeutic erotic healing and spirituality and sex work and counseling and how it all overlaps and contradicts itself. That is part of what I was working on years ago with my PhD, and I have not been able to finish it, but I do presentations at academic conferences on aspects of it, and it'll always be in my heart. That's all I can say. We could do a whole other program on that.
Yeah, we could, and I would be great. That sounds like a really worthwhile project.
And I just realized what I want to do after I get my memoir out there and all that is that I'm going to do, I have all this footage, and I have also digitized all the TV shows bisexuals were on, talk shows like in the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do documentaries, bisexual documentaries with all that footage.
Yes.
So our history gets out there.
I'd like to add something, John and Lynette, which is that not necessarily this time, but I think there's a lot to discuss that Lonnie and I and you all and everybody, other people could contribute to about what's been happening on a national and an international level with bi organizing and how it relates to what we engaged with in the book and what we didn't. You know, there's just a lot of hidden history, undocumented history about the B in LGBT and the B apart from LGBT that's somewhere connecting with other intersectionalities of behaviors and identities, and how it has been politicized and not in terms of policies, legislation, public discourse, media, all that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's happening today. I mean, in our, you know, in our activist list, we have a friend who is, you know, lobbying for a bill right now. And, the gay and lesbian, forces don't want to say the B word, right? In this stuff that's going on today. So it continues.
It continues.
Yeah. And some of that is because you have to say sexual.
Yeah.
When you say bisexual, there's so much sex phobia that it's like there's a level of embarrassment or they want to stay away from mentioning that when, in fact, that's why the gay liberation movement started.
You know, you guys talk about that and that they agreed that, you know, to use bi, but they would not use bisexual. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, really? That was a 3:30 in the morning meeting because everything was consensual. Back, you know, we did everything by consensus, not consensual, but we fought for that. I did a 12-city campaign to get bisexual into the name of the march, and we did an endorsement campaign, which was really interesting because I knew we'd done enough work, and so 12 cities got all the lesbian gay leaders in those cities, and I did some too, and so when we went to that meeting, you know, name the march meeting in Los Angeles, that inside everybody's packet, we helped fill those packets, and right on top was this endorsement campaign. Yes, it's time to have bisexual included in a national march on Washington title. And it got down to you have to remove the sexual, we'll include the bi. And we fought to have transgender included too, but there just wasn't enough education that the transgender movement was still in the really early stages, and there wasn't enough education to include transgender, but that was part of the fight too. But we did get the bi in there, and of 18 speakers of the day invited to speak, guess what slot I had? 18.
Yeah.
They were already collapsing the media tent and everything, but it was, pretty
it was a hot day too.
Amazing.
That's amazing that you were there.
And her speech was fantastic. Her speech is on the record. And, you know, we need to make sure that the speech is read and heard.
Mm-hmm.
And speeches since then. I mean, there have been tons of speeches since then, too. I mean, it's about living history.
Yeah, and we need to start. Need to start sharing those. I did share some of your guys' stuff, but I think about 6 months ago. But we can do it again. We have a lot of new people. A lot of new people came in like 1,000 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
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 There
was congratulations.
Yeah.
It was a busy weekend. So you know, all of that can be redone. We can redo that. You know. I mean, they run classes all the time over and over again, right?
Absolutely. Exactly. Yep. I mean, repetition is what works, you know?
It does.
Do you know that half of all LGBT people, identified people, you know, identify as bi? You know, do you know that? You know, we say that. We say that when we, you know, have meetings and when we do media, but I don't hear that coming from the average person who is a sex educator or a activist in the gay community politically, you know.
No, yeah, I agree with that. We just need to start.
You know, I
regularly post to our local LGBT site bisexual stuff, and nobody's kicked me out yet. So, but I keep posting it there, and
I
get likes for it.
I would say I hear it sometimes now from the gay and lesbian community, and I think repetition is why we're hearing it now from them,
because
we have said it to them so many times that now we're starting to hear it back. So
for decades,
keep saying it over and over, you know, be a broken record.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, you know, as the book shows and the new introduction shows, it has been for decades. And, you know, so it is time that they start, you know, start saying it back. And, you know, and you guys, they talk about the... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and that's what the intro for the new book covers, quite a bit of that, the subtle and not so subtle changes that have happened because we have been out. And we've been out, we've been visible, we've been vocal, and that a lot of our work does show up today, but it doesn't mean that work is over, that's for sure.
No, it certainly doesn't. And I really appreciate the guys. I mean, that you guys, you know, showed that there's been, you know, the intersection between the trans and the bi community, because I hear a lot of people say no, you know, and I say yes. You know, there has been, you know.
Well, I tell you, even within our community, the Pew study showed that only 1% of bisexual men who identify as bisexual are out to most people in their lives. And that is criminal. And
it's
beyond needs. It's crisis. And, you know, we see that crisis. When we do support work, we see people come in with that crisis. And so the work has got a long way to go before we're even close to thinking that we can coast a little bit.
Yeah. Well, but I think we made a really big, major spot. I always lose my words. Go ahead. I'll think of it in a minute.
I was just going to say, Lynette, that, you know, nothing's going to change until we can say bisexual, and until we can say sex, until we can say sexual and talk about the beauty of sex and the positivity of sex and how to protect sex and how to make sex safer. You know, if we can't talk about these things, we're not going to have bisexual liberation, because you have to face it. You have to grapple, you know, with people's sexuality. And it's just part of humanity's struggle right now, you know. And a lot of it is about violence against women, too. It comes back to that. I mean, that was one of the topics that we presented on from a bi aspect at the roundtable on bisexuality that was sponsored by the White House 2 years ago. You know, it's all connected.
Very much so. I completely agree.
Yeah.
So
all links will be provided on the website.
Okay. And is there anything else you guys would like to add today?
I would just love to see intergenerational and cross all kinds of ways conversations happening between different kinds of bisexuals and different people who identify with different sexualities, because we need to keep talking and telling our stories, hearing each other's stories, and understanding the concerns and the fears and the hostilities to get beyond them. We've got to keep talking.
And I would say that I would like, besides the intergenerational, is having parents and children, have families involved, because we do have families and we have incredible allies. A lot of our partners are incredible allies, and we need to hear from the allies to give other people an idea. Yeah, we have allies, and yes, there's mixed marriages or mixed relationships and different kinds of families, and have that out there too. I mean, my daughter is bisexual, and just that intergenerational conversation would be interesting to hear. I mean, we kind of crack each other up, actually, but having that family piece and ally piece more visible, too.
Yeah. No, I have to agree. I think that that helping each other intergenerational would be great, because I have my own story about my own father who never came to terms with his bisexuality, and of course I didn't either, because you know I fed off of what he thought about it, and everybody else did, and it would have been helpful if we could have talked to each other about it.
Mm-hmm.
It really would have, you know, we could have gotten each other through it.
So, yeah, but it's the role modeling piece that's really important.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I find like my heterosexual partner is useful within our own support community when there's other mixed orientation relationships involved, and she's been a good resource for the straight spouses in those relationships, and there just aren't these resources for us. It really has to be coming from us and our, you know, our partners and allies a lot of times.
Well, I think it sounds like, to me, looking back on history, that it's always had to come from us, everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd
like to say one more thing about the contributors in By Any Other Name, and that is that it's more women than men, and that's partly what was happening during the AIDS epidemic of the late 80s, early 90s. We were having a hard time getting men to write. Mm-hmm. With a lot of men dying and being in crisis. However, also, those over 70 contributors are the strength of what made the book and the movement work, is, you know, having book parties in every city that a contributor was present in. And those contributors went on to write many books themselves. For a lot of people, it was maybe the first or one of the first serious things they wrote and got published. And then they went on to develop their own writing careers. So there's a whole like bisexual diaspora that grew out of By Any Other Name since it first came out.
It continues today. I mean, I'm sure there's people... There's people in Recognize that had associations
with
them, so, and you know, and Recognize is really like a compendium for you, right? It's a it's the 21st century version for males. So
well, there's lots of books, and there's Getting By, and there's just tons of books that came out.
Out of it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
And By Any Other Name was like. One of the very first, or if not the first, really, anthology of bisexual voices, rather than having it be a research book on mostly married bisexuals. So it was in our own voice, which was the value for me, too. It's just, these are real people leading everyday lives, and it's still moves me.
Yeah, fantastic. I really appreciate you guys being on today. I think we've made some milestones at social media, and we are able to get things out there. So I encourage all of you to buy the book. You can make a choice and buy both, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Both and. It's another both
and.
Yeah, I would do that, so you can carry it around with you without carrying the whole book, or carry the whole book, too. I really appreciate you guys being on today.
Thank you.
I just want to remind everyone, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.